And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Something, in brief, I have observed from the first part of this verse, namely from these words, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And indeed, I have observed but something, for they are very full of matter, and many things might be taken notice of in them. There is one thing more that I might touch upon as touched in this saying, and that is this. Methinks the Lord Jesus Christ doth hereby signify that men are naturally unwilling to see or take notice of their sad state, I say by nature. But though now they are willingly ignorant, yet in hell they shall lift up their eyes. That is, in hell they shall see and understand their miserable condition, and therefore to these words, in hell he lifted up his eyes, he adds, being in torments. As if he has said, though once they shut their eyes, though once they were willingly ignorant, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, yet when they depart into hell, they shall be so miserably handled and tormented that they shall be forced to lift up their eyes. While men live in this world and are in a natural state, they will have a good conceit of themselves and of their condition. They will conclude that they are Christians, that Abraham is their father, and their state to be as good as the best, Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. They will conclude they have faith, the Spirit, a good hope, and an interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, when they drop into hell and lift up their eyes there, and behold that first their soul to be in extreme torments, their dwelling to be the bottomless pit, their company thousands of damned souls, also the innumerable company of devils, and the hot scalding vengeance of God, not only to drop, but to fall very violently upon them, then they will begin to be awakened, who all their lifetime were in a dead sleep. I say, when this comes to pass, and lo it will, then in hell they shall lift up their eyes. In the midst of torments, they shall lift up their eyes. Again, you may observe in these words, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, that the time of the ungodly men's smarting for their sins will be in the torments of hell. Now here I am put to a stand when I consider the torments of hell into which the damned do fall. Oh, unspeakable torments! Oh, endless torments! Now that thy soul might be made to flee from those intolerable torments into which the damned do go, I will show you briefly what the torments are, or what are the torments of hell. First, by the names of it. Second, by the sad state thou wilt be in if thou comest there. First, the names. It is called a never-dying worm, Mark 9. It is called an oven fire, hot, Malachi 4, verse 1. It is called a furnace, a fiery furnace, Matthew 13. It is called the bottomless pit, the unquenchable fire, fire and brimstone, hell fire, the lake of fire, devouring fire, everlasting fire, eternal fire, a stream of fire, Revelation 21. Second, by the sad state thou wilt be in if thou comest there. Number one. One part of thy torments will be this, that thou shalt have a full sight of all thy ill-spent life, from first to last, though here thou canst sin today and forget it by tomorrow, yet there thou shalt be made to remember how thou didst sin against God at such a time, and in such a place, for such a thing, and with such a one, which will be a hell unto thee. God will set them in order before thine eyes. Psalm 51, verse 21. Number two, thou shalt have the guilt of them all lying heavily on thy soul. Not only the guilt of one or two, but the guilt of them altogether. And there they shall lie in thy soul, as if thy belly were full of pitch and set on a light fire. Here men can sometimes think on their sins with delight, but there with unspeakable torment. For that I understand to be the fire that Christ speaketh of, which shall never be quenched. Mark chapter 9, verses 43 through 49. While men live here, oh, how doth the guilt of one sin sometimes crush the soul? It makes a man in such plight that he is weary of his life, so that he can neither rest at home nor abroad, neither up nor in bed. Nay, I do know that they have been so tormented with the guilt of one sinful thought that they have been even at their wits' end and have hanged themselves. But now, when thou comest into hell, and hast not only one or two or an hundred sins, with the guilt of them all on thy soul and body, but all the sins that ever thou didst commit since thou camest into the world, altogether clapped on thy conscience at one time, as one should clap a red-hot iron to thy breasts, and there to continue to all eternity. This is miserable. Number 3. Again, then thou shalt have brought into thy remembrance the slighting of the gospel of Christ. Here thou shalt consider how willing Christ was to come into the world to save sinners, and for what a trifle thou didst reject him. This is plainly held forth in Isaiah 28, where, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation of salvation, in verse 16, he saith of them that reject the gospel, that when the overflowing scourge doth pass through the earth, which I understand to be at the end of the world, then saith he, it shall take you morning by morning, by day and by night it shall pass over you, that is, continually, without any intermission. And it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. A vexation, that is, a torment, or a great part of hell, only to understand the report, to understand the good tidings that came into the world by Christ's death for poor sinners. And you will find this verily to be the mind of the Spirit, if you compare it with Isaiah 53, verse 1, where he speaks of men's turning their backs upon the tenders of God's grace in the gospel. He saith, who hath believed our report, or the gospel declared by us? Now this will be a mighty torment to the ungodly, when they shall understand the goodness of God was so great that he even sent his Son out of his bosom to die for sinners, and yet that they should be so foolish as to put him off from one time to another, that they should be so foolish as to lose heaven and Christ and eternal life in glory for the society of a company of drunkards, that they should lose their souls for a little sport, for this world, for a strumpet, for that which is lighter than vanity and nothing. I say, this will be a very great torment unto thee. Number 4. Another part of thy torment will be this. Thou shalt see thy friends, thy acquaintance, thy neighbors, yea, it may be thy father, thy mother, thy wife, thy husband, thy children, thy brother, thy sister, with others in the kingdom of heaven, and thyself thrust out. Luke chapter 13, verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, your father, and Isaac, and Jacob, together with your brethren, and all the prophets in the kingdom of heaven, and you yourselves thrust out. Nay, saith he, they shall come from the east and from the west, that is, those that thou didst never see in all thy life before, and they shall sit down with thy friends and thy neighbors, thy wife and thy children in the kingdom of heaven, and thou, for thy sins and disobedience, shall be shut, nay, thrust out. Oh, wonderful torment. Number 5. Again, thou shalt have none but a company of damned souls with an innumerable company of devils to keep company with thee. While thou art in this world, and the very thoughts of the devils appearing to thee makes thy flesh to tremble, and thine hair ready to stand upright on thy head. But, oh, what wilt thou do, when not only the supposition of the devils appearing, but the real society of all the devils in hell will be with thee, howling and roaring, screeching and roaring in such a hideous manner, that thou wilt be even at thy wit's end, and ready to run stark mad again for anguish and torment.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.